Hot Hot Hoops Podcast, episode, I don't know, because we don't do that anymore. We don't keep track of episode numbers anymore, but it's the first podcast we've done in a long time. I'm your host, Ernest Christian, alongside, of course, my sidekick here, David Mill. What's up?
Not much, man. How are you doing?
We are 2 days... I'm good. First of all, I'm good. Number two, we are 2 days away from free agency. Every time of year for me, man. I love free agency, personally. NBA free agency, yeah. Anyway.
It's a nice little back-to-back session there with, you know, you got the finals wrapping up and then the draft a short while later and then just after that free agency, and it coincides perfectly with Summer League too, so it's a great time of year. You know, I was a little depressed thinking about the fact that I wouldn't be watching basketball live anymore, but you know what? There's a lot to do this summer, and not to mention the Olympics, so that's always exciting as well.
Yeah, of course. Before we get to the our topics to address. So yeah, we got a lot to address with the Miami Heat. But before we do that, what were your thoughts on the finals? I haven't spoken to you in a long time, so I wanted to get your thoughts on the NBA finals.
Oh, I'm, you know, much to the chagrin of Heat Nation, I think. I was actually pulling for Cleveland for no other reason than to stop hearing Cleveland fans talk about the 5+ decades of mediocrity, et cetera. You know, that's over with. They got their championship. That's great. You know, there were some good storylines there. I thought it was a better overall storyline for the league for Cleveland to win their championship rather than Golden State. And, you know, it worked out pretty well. I think it was an entertaining series, if nothing else. Maybe some, you know, questionable officiating at times. But, at the you know, for the most part, I think it was a very...
Definitely inconsistent.
Well, you know, as I've gotten older, bro, the reality is that I don't even care about it anymore. Look, I was pretty pissed off about Charlotte. I mean, I've said this before, but when the Charlotte series took place, the way Jeremy Lin was getting to the line and mm-hmm. Kemba Walker was getting to the line, I mean, there was some anger there on my part. But I think overall, when I'm not really closely affiliated with the outcome of a game, I can be a little, you know, distant from it and realize, you know what? Bad calls happen, good calls happen, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Likewise. I don't know if I told you, man, but you know, I was rooting for the Warriors win the series. I flipped on Game 7 because of the same thing, the better story. And right. I felt like the Warriors didn't deserve it. I mean, the way they played in the end of the series, their body language felt like they were entitled to win a championship. And to me, I think their attitude... lack of respect for the opponent, lack of respect for LeBron, you know, the great. I know that they've been poking prod all year long, you know, by Oscar Robertson and all these little guys, you know, all year long telling them that great. And I get that. But to me, I just didn't think they respected the moment. The fact that Steph Curry could sit there with 4 minutes going to Game 7, throw a behind the back pass that goes out of bounds, to me, not only was it a terrible basketball play, to me, it was absolutely disrespectful to the game of basketball.
Huh. I don't know. That's kind of harsh.
It bothered me. It irked me. And to me, it was like, you know what? I hope you guys lose.
Well, there you go. I mean, well, and they did. So you got what you wanted. And I'm curious to see how they respond. Because, you know, all year long, they were using all these perceived slights and pettiness to kind of fuel them and push them all the way to 73 wins, etc. And, I mean, they were pretty engaged through most of the season. So you wonder, now that they've actually suffered a setback and that they've actually lost someone, how are they going to come back next year? And a lot of people are quick to write them off. But then again, you remember what happened last summer as well. You know, they won the championship. Nobody thought they were going to be able to, you know, duplicate it. And they just wound up setting the best record in NBA history. So I don't know. I'm curious to see what happens next season.
I am too. I am also. And I'm not writing them off at all. I think that they're the favorites, and they should be. I wrote about this right after the finals. They should be the favorites to win it all next year. Although, I tell you what, Oklahoma City made a strong case for themselves. If Durant stays, and given that trade you saw last week, they definitely the next also, too.
Well, I'm not as big on that trade.
Oh, I know. You sent me a text.
I know we're getting into free agency now, but at the same time, as far as that trade is concerned between the Magic and Oklahoma City Thunder, I mean, I've seen Oladipo up close. I think a lot of people are thinking second overall draft pick. Obviously, this guy is a great value. He's young. He's athletic. I don't, you know, take that away from what he is, but at the same time, you know, for all the comparisons to Dwayne Wade that have happened throughout their career, I wrote about it at one point or another, you know, he doesn't get to the free throw line nearly as much. He's not as effective a mid-range shooter. He takes bad quality shots. His overall true shooting percentage is pretty low. You know, there's potential there, and he can realize that, and maybe he's the best shooting guard they've had there for a while, but when you look at Andre Roberson you know, Tavel Sefolosha and Deion Waiters, that's not much of a cadre of shooting guards to compare yourself to. So I'm not, he's the best guard they've had there, you know, to complement Russell Westbrook and KD if he stays, but he's not their future. You know, he's a complimentary player, and maybe he'll benefit by being the third option on that team, as opposed to being forced to be the first option in Orlando.
On my podcast, on my main podcast, at some point in the next like couple of weeks, we're going to discuss this trade down, you know, down the line, because that's definitely you know, something we need to discuss.
Better.
You know,
where should we start first? Because I Whiteside, Durant, Wade, what would you do in my shoes? Because I don't know where to start.
I think Kevin Durant is the big name there.
The whale!
He's going to be the first domino. Yes,
the whale!
Yes, the whale. The whale, domino, or, which sets everything into effect.
Or as Pat Riley has on his notepad at 601 Biscayne Bay, Biscayne Drive, whatever the hell it is, party number one, Kevin Durant. The Heat.
Well, yeah.
The Heat do have a meeting with Durant. There is a chance. I'm one of the guys that have been saying pretty much the entire season, and especially after they beat San Antonio in the second round of the playoffs, that there's no way in hell Kevin Durant's leaving this, at least this summer. You, I think, have had the opposite opinion on that all season long. You actually said on record. I am impressed Miami got in a meeting, because, you know, given the fact that Miami has the issues it has with Chris Bosh, and we don't know what's happening with his future. You know, obviously the Whiteside situation. And look, I know the Heat have $42 million in cap room. Not a lot of money in this. It's not a lot of money in this climate now. Not a lot of money in this climate and in the players that are out there. Kevin Durant. I mean, he has to be number one priority, right? The Heat are doing the right thing by making him the number one priority, right?
Without a doubt. I mean, I think a lot of Heat fans have been caught up in having Hassan Whiteside there. He's a fine player. Certainly a lot that he can do. There's still room for improvement from him. But when you look at what he can do in comparison to Kevin Durant, no question, he's not the better player there. You know, and that's funny because we've talked about this before, but a lot of people have been kind of like, oh, you know, let's get Hassan Whiteside, bring back D Wade and Chris Bosh, and we're good to go. But yeah, that's great and all. But, you know, if you can add a player of Kevin Durant's caliber, you do it every time. There's just no question about that. So, you know, I haven't been so convinced that he's willing to re-sign with Oklahoma City, because I just don't think that money is necessarily the biggest factor at this point in his career. Look, he says he wants to win. Does Miami give him the best option to do so? Probably not. You know, Golden State is probably a better option. Even Oklahoma City might be a better option for him. But, you know, there was an interesting piece by Bill Simmons that you and I talked about.
And it
shows exactly why he's so effective, because of his ability to communicate with people, to relate to them, to be able to get through to the very core of a person and figure out what they want and what they need. And even if that's necessarily, you know, disadvantageous for Miami, maybe he'll, you know, steer Kevin Durant and another team, but, you know, he'll be able to connect with him at a very personal level. And I think it's an important factor in weighing in what happens in free agency. So, you know, he's got the meeting, and I think that it's based on that reputation. And I think Kevin Durant's going to listen to what he has to say. And in comparison to the other guys around the league, you know, Pat Riley is probably the more charismatic of all of them. And I think of the six teams that he's meeting with, I think Pat Riley has a very good chance of being able to convince KD that Miami might be the best place for him. So we'll see what happens.
Well, first off, I think Riley is going to sell him next year, #1, anyway. I think if anything, Riley's going to look at a long-term deal. Because I think Riley might be convinced in his head that Oklahoma City might be the better option, at least for 1 year. But it wouldn't surprise me that Riley's going to sell him on next year, considering the boss situation. By the way, the Riley thing and him convincing people, look, the fact that that guy got a freaking meeting with LaMarcus Aldridge last year, and he had no shot, had no business being involved in that, and he got a meeting with no money.
Right.
You know how hard it is to get a meeting with these players?
Yeah.
The fact that he got a meeting, yeah.
The agent took a call and said, yeah, you want to meet with him? Sure, we'll go do lunch. Why not? And he did. I mean, you know, Aldridge didn't have any intention of coming to Miami, but he listened. And he actually, of the teams that he met with, he was more impressed by what Riley said. And if you believe a report that came out from, I believe, Adrian Wojnarowski detailing, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge's free agency, Riley actually had a big impact on where he wound up signing, because he told him, you know, at that point in time, I think when he met with Riley, he was swinging very heavily towards re-signing with the Phoenix Suns. And then he met with Riley, and Riley was able to convince him, look, go where you want, where you can win right away, because that's, you know, that legacy is what's most important over anything else. And that's why he chose San Antonio over all other suitors. So that was, you know, look, he had an impact one way or another. Did he get him to sign in Miami? No. But I think it's going to be something similar when he meets with KD. KD's at a point where he needs to win right now before he starts getting the same crap that LeBron James was, you know, facing in 2010. You know, you need a ring, and you know, that's just a reality in today's NBA. You won't be respected as an all-time great until you're recognized as a champion. So I think for Kevin Durant, he needs to go someplace where he can win a championship, if not right away, very soon afterwards.
Well, my prediction is he stays in Oklahoma City of the year, and we have this conversation again next summer if the Thunder don't win a title next season. That's just my opinion, because he has every reason to stay in Oklahoma City. He has Westbrook, another top five guy in the league. The roster got better, in my opinion. You say no, but I think the roster got better, in my opinion. That's my prediction on Durant. I'm just impressed that he got a meeting. That's awesome. Because, look, remember the whole last 2 years? Oh, the Wizards are going to get him. He's going home. They can't even get a freaking meeting with him, much less get him to sign there.
Yeah, I remember reading about the fact that Ted Leonsis, I think, is the owner, majority owner of the Wizards, was building a whole new practice facility, and it was going to be in a kind of a economically impoverished area near where Kevin Durant grew up, and so he was bringing jobs into the area and all this. And I remember thinking, man, that's a really good publicity move right there. If you're trying to convince a guy like KD to sign with the Wizards, that's a great move. And all for nothing, you know. He wound up thinking that wasn't the best option for him. And I think the Wizards took a major step back this past season for one reason or another. I mean, maybe the loss of Paul Pierce or what have you, injuries and things of that sort. But they took a major step back. And even hiring Scott Brooks wasn't enough to convince him to go to KD. But you know what? Enough about that. Let's move on and look at how he impacts Miami's future. I mean, you don't think he's coming to Miami?
No.
I think there's a possibility. I wouldn't say it's a strong one. Maybe 5-10%.
I'll get a 10% chance because it's Riley. But like I said, I think there's so much going on. There's too much right now in the short term with Miami. So much in question marks in the short term that I think Riley might be better suited, if not be able to lure him this year, sell him on next year. Because next year we'll have Claire Dunbosch, okay? By then we'll know if Whiteside's here or not, which we'll get to in a second. And we'll know the future of this roster moving forward. And they'll have more cap room next year, especially too. If Bosch retires before November, they'll have cap room. So, like I said, I think something that I think Riley will sell on next year. So I give it a 10% chance he signs here.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, but I still think, how do you rank Miami's chances amongst the six potential suitors?
It's funny you said that. I wrote an article today. I just posted like literally 10 minutes ago on my blog. If you can check it out, I ranked all the suitors. Miami was third.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah. Behind Oklahoma City and Golden State?
Obviously.
Okay.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Yeah, he's a good fit in San Antonio. I think San Antonio would probably rank fourth, right, of all the six suitors?
Actually, I had him fifth because I just don't know. Why would you go to San Antonio? Look, I see the obvious reasonings and the attraction.
Right.
I just don't know what San Antonio, the fit with Kawhi and LaMarcus Aldridge. Is Aldridge okay playing center now? I mean, is he okay with that all of a sudden? And he just beat San Antonio in the playoffs last 2 months
sure.
ago. I mean, what to me, that's almost like a step backwards from your number one option. In my opinion, anyway. That's my opinion.
So. No, I agree. I think they're probably. Well, so Boston, you have Boston ranked fourth then?
Slightly ahead of them because I think Boston has the assets. If they can still make a move before July 1st, I mean, they have the assets to move. But Danny Ainge blew that chance, I think, on draft night. Had he gotten commitments, had he gotten some of those assets and those picks traded away for maybe a Boogie Cousins or somebody, a top 15 player in the league, that could have sold it better, could have sold the idea of Durant coming to Boston. That would have helped their chances, but. No.
Yeah, pretty disappointing. Look, I mean, I'm no fan of Danny Ainge, and I like the Boston team in general. I think, you know, they've got a good gritty squad, and Brad Stevens looks like he's a pretty good coach and all. But you know, that whole plan that he's been building towards kind of backfired him with all these draft picks that wind up, you know, amounting to nothing. And I like the selection of Jaylen Brown, although I think, you know, picking him third overall is probably a little too high.
Yeah, but you know, it is what it is, and that team is. I mean, those draft picks are valuable to a point. I mean, this is not the NFL. You know, at some point, those are just ghost picks. Those those draft picks are just empty until you know who they are. So
right. That's why Miami undervalues draft picks, and I talk about this all the time with guys in other markets. You know, they just the draft is so important to them, and being a longtime Heat fan, you kind of go, you know what, it's not that big a deal when you got Pat Riley. Yeah.
Yep, not to the Heat, not to the Lakers, not to like elite teams who can draw top five players in the league constantly every couple.
I can't believe you included the Lakers there. I mean, that hasn't been the case
prior.
In so long.
Prior to these last 2 years. I mean, let's see.
2 years. I mean, this is like a 5-year window, right? Where they haven't been able to draw anybody.
I mean, the only guy they drafted really in the last 20-something years or 30-something years was Magic. You know, they got Shaq in free agency. They got Kareem in free agency, you know, or traded for rather. They got Kobe in a trade, you know. So, I mean, they don't really rely on the draft. Now, this like I said, this is a new territory for the Lakers. These last 3-4 years. Brand new territory for the Lakers. Something we've never seen before, ever. So, but you know, we'll get to Durant, and like I said, I think he stays in Oklahoma City. But look, Miami may sell him next year. Who knows? I guess Whiteside's the next thing we're gonna talk about here, because
Plan B,
whale. if you are to believe all the rumors and some of the little innuendos that's been out there. That Whiteside has been saying to the press the last week or so. You follow his Snapchat and all this stuff. I mean, personally, I mean, I was a guy that was saying about a week and a half ago that it's a no-brainer. Miami signs him. It's over. I'm not so sure the problem isn't. Here's the thing, Dave. I don't think the problem is necessarily Whiteside. You pay Whiteside the money, he's staying, period. I don't think Miami wants to sign him to that max deal. And the minute the Heat lowball him, it's over.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment. I think that, you know, Miami will come at them with a reasonable offer that might be comparable to a team in a state that, you know, that charges an incredible state income tax or something along those lines. So I think the biggest competition is probably Dallas, based in Texas. And so, you know, that's another state like Florida that doesn't have a state income tax. So I think Mark Cuban wants to put all of his cards on the table. He's failed on a number of free agents in the past, Dwight Howard, you know, DeAndre Jordan. So this is Williams. His opportunity. Yeah, exactly. So this is another opportunity for him to get a big center and you know, work as a center, as a piece alongside of Dirk Nowitzki. And I think he's going to try and wow him with a hell of a presentation. And I think Dallas is a legitimate threat. I don't know. I don't know if Miami wants him that badly. I think they just don't want to pay him that kind of money that he's expected to command. And that's fair. I think they've seen him up close. If anybody would have a good reason to, you know, lowball him, so to speak, it's him. And, you know, there is room for growth there. We've seen it. He puts up good numbers. Some of them are a little overinflated. And I wonder whether or not they don't think he might be worth that kind of $22 million price tag or so.
Well, look, I know fans are going to be worried. Oh, just pay him. Look, who's had the most exposure to Whiteside? The Heat have, okay? Right. Besides playing on the court, who's been working with him privately, you know, in the gym and, you know, workouts and whatnot? The Heat have. You don't think the Heat know more than anybody else the value of a guy like a Whiteside's talent? There's obviously something there. There's a reason why the Heat are not going to want to pay him that kind of money, okay? And look, I wrote this yesterday on HotHoops.com, you know, about Heat fans getting the idea, getting prepared for a future without Whiteside, because I think that's, you know, if you asked me this last week, a week, 2 weeks ago, I would have said Miami will pay it because they have no choice. Now, no. I think they'll live with Whiteside leaving, because it's not, look, Whiteside leaving will be a blow, it won't be catastrophic. They can recover. There are options out there that the Heat can get, you know, in the free agency market that can actually not so much replace the guy, but at least give you almost similar production, if not close to it.
There's an option in-house already. If Chris Bosh comes back, he can take over that center position. Hassan Whiteside becomes superfluous. I mean, the reality is that the way that the league is changing now with small ball lineups, it was good enough for the big three era, and I know that was a team that was predicated on perimeter defense and aggressive, you know, attacking the pick and roll and things of that sort, you know, the death lineup or whatever, but I think Miami is a better team defensively at times with a smaller lineup, with Chris Bosh being able to aggressively attack pick and rolls. I think they're better that way. Look, he provides great rim protection. I see that. I know it was a factor at some points, but it's also you know, at some points it's not necessarily a factor because he was too aggressive on going after that block. So if I'd like Whiteside to stay at a reasonable price, barring that, if he leaves, there are better options, like you said, or even a better option in-house. And if Chris Bosh comes back at full strength, this team is going to be just fine. If they can add some good perimeter defense, a good solid wing player to complement D. Wade, should he resign, you know, Goran Dragic and Justice Winslow, Josh Richardson, et cetera, I think this is a very good squad. So, I like their chances one way or the other.
I agree. I think it's a – I was 50-50 a couple days ago on him staying and going. Now I'm actually 40-60, a 30-70 now on him staying. I think he goes to Dallas. I think Dallas is the fit. I think that's the pick he'll do because Mark Cuban will have money in bags July 1st, 12:01 a.m. ready to go. He wants. I don't know if he believes this or not, but you know, Whiteside wants to have a decision made right away in the first day. He wants Miami to pony up. He's trying to. I guess a lot of ways, a lot of the comments he's making now is him trying to get back at Miami for Miami dangling a carrot for the last year and a half. And now he wants Miami to kind of crawl towards him a little bit.
That's ridiculous, though.
It is yes and no, but the thing is, Miami, everything Miami did, you know, to motivate him and to keep him engaged, you know, they no longer, the leverage is gone. That it's over now. Now it's all Whiteside. If they want Whiteside, you know, look. It may not matter if they don't want him. If they don't want him, it doesn't even matter. But if they do want him, they're going to have to adhere to his demands. Just that simple.
But what carrot did they dangle in front of him, man? They were trying to get him to play at a level that he's capable.
They benched him in the middle of the year. I mean, whether we agree or disagree with if he deserved it or not. But, you know some of the stuff, comments made by Bosch and, you know, all that stuff. You know, some of the pick and prodding. And, look, some of it was deserved. I'm just saying, though, now – Whiteside now controls the narrative. Now, if the Heat want him, Whiteside is the person. Whiteside is in the driver's seat right now in terms of negotiations.
I don't want to pass judgment on Whiteside. I know he's been through his issues through his youth and you know, going into the next level professionally. But the reality is that they did those things because he needed them. You know, in order for him to reach a level of professionality.
No doubt about that. Which is why, as you said, there's apprehension on the Heat's part to pay the guy. I agree. Both things are correct. Both things you're saying are correct. Yeah, the Heat, the motivation factor and, you know, why it's – you're absolutely correct on that. But now, in this moment, because Whiteside has a market, and the market says max, the Lakers will pay the max, the Mavericks will pay max, and maybe I'm hearing Portland might get involved in these deals now. So – and they dictate that. So Miami no longer has a driver's seat. If Miami has a driver's seat, if they adhere to his demands, it's just that.
I just don't see Riley kowtowing to a guy like Whiteside. You know, considering he's the one who gave him the opportunity two years ago that nobody else was willing to.
Then he'll let him walk.
Yeah, he's not going to handcuff the franchise just to re-sign him.
Right. Then speed dial Pau Gasol. Because that's my prediction. Pau Gasol will be here in Miami, not Hassan Whiteside.
I've seen San Antonio as a potential suitor, but I gotta be honest with you, I don't like the addition of Gasol. Not at this point in his career, not with his defensive liabilities. He's a skilled player, you know, the Hall of Famer, et cetera, champion, sure. And I'd like him as a nice addition off the bench. I just don't see him getting that kind of starter money.
I like Al Horford, but not at $20 million.
Well, yeah. I think that's the fit. I think that's the best fit. Obviously,
great,
I think
fit, it's but the money, and he's already 30 years old.
He's made enough. Take less, Al. Come here to Miami.
Well, if he does take less, well, right. I mean, but like I said,
you know, the Latino population here will embrace you. You'll become, you know, you'll become like a Dominican Republic hero.
Yeah, pitch to how Al Horford.
I agree with it. Hey, Duhengte, man, your people are here, buddy. Come here. You know, be a part of South Florida culture. I mean, you can connect. Look, we've got Jose Pineda. He's your Spanish broadcaster. He's going to talk about you ad nauseum. You know, you're going to be a great.
Have you seen his wife?
I think she was a Miss Universe contestant at one point. I haven't really seen her, but.
Yeah, just saying. A lot of reasons to want to move down here, though. I'm just saying. But. Yeah, I think – well, you said Gasol, you don't like the Gasol fit. The thing with Gasol, it's a safer bet. It'll probably be a short-term contract. It'll give the Heat flexibility another year or two anyway. instead of being stuck with Whiteside in the question marks, you know? So that's the reason why I like the Gasol idea.
If Whiteside doesn't sign and Horford's clearly priced himself out of Miami's range, is there another option there? Because I'm kind of thinking I'd like to see Biyombo.
Biyombo to me is not even worth more than $10 million. Dave, are you really gonna do this right now? Sell me on Biyombo.
I think he could do it. I think he's motivated. I think he got a taste for it in the postseason, and I think he's a good fit. I mean, I'd like him. You know what? Actually, Biyombo's not my ideal plan C, if you will. I think actually Jan Mahimi is a pretty good option.
Well, okay. I was thinking more along Joakim Noah.
I think he's washed. I think he's done.
He's about to experiment, I think, though.
Not at the kind of money he's expected to commit, man. I like Noah's intensity. You know, if he was able to add it to Miami's roster, look, it's one thing to play against him. You get annoyed as hell at having to look at Joakim Noah clapping incessantly and yelling all the time and whining for fouls. But if he's there on your team, you kind of appreciate and love him. I know he's beloved in Chicago. He's gone there. He's not going to be part of their long-term future. I just think he's going to expect too much money. And I don't think he's going to, you know, I don't think he deserves it at this point. Well, maybe not deserve. I don't think he's worth that kind of financial investment for a guy who's gone through so many injuries. He played through so many, you know, he put himself out there for so long, and I think it's come back to bite him, and I don't know that he's going to be healthy enough. Look, if he's healthy 100% and you can pay maybe, what, 12 to 15 million for a guy of his level, sure, I think that's a good investment if he's 100% healthy. But that's a huge question mark. And you know, you can't afford to waste any more time of Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade's career if you're going to actually and legitimately compete for a title. You can't invest in a guy that age to have those kind of injury issues.
Elephant in the room, Dave. Elephant in the room. Dwight Howard.
Okay. Dwight Howard.
Am I the only one that thinks that, you know, the Dwight Howard hate is a little overbearing?
No, I don't think you are.
Everything everybody said about Dwight Howard is correct. A baby, you know, maybe a little bit of cancer. But if we can really assess everything, let's weed out Orlando. Because Orlando, first off, I know he goes to bed night every single night regretting leaving the Magic. Okay, number one. He was beloved there. You know, he had a great fit with Stan Van Gundy, and he ruined it himself. Because he's an idiot. We get that. Okay. So, the Lakers for 1 year. Horrible fit. And that's even before we get to the Kobe Bryant aspect of it. Okay? That was never going to work from the word go. Those personalities are polar opposites. That was never going to work. Plus, he had the disaster that was that year because of the fact that Kobe got hurt at the end of the year. Steve Nash got hurt, you know, pretty much the entire time he was there in Los Angeles. Bad fit. Send him to Houston with James Harden? Are you kidding me? That's probably a worse fit than L.A. was.
Look, he played really well in spots despite injuries. He's still effective at what he's always been good at, rebounding, rim protection.
Dude, Dave, he outplayed – I'm sorry, but Dave, outside this past playoff run, the last 2 years, he outplayed James Harden in the playoffs. He played very well in the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think he's still a good serviceable player. I think he may not necessarily be a superstar anymore, but I think he's still a very good player. My problem is trying to figure out what motivates him, and I can't see what does. I mean, is it money? Is it legacy? Is it championships? Because that doesn't seem to be the case. I don't know what he wants. You know, at first it was the opportunity, or at least we heard, the opportunity to be in L.A. and Hollywood under the bright lights and kind of expand your marketing approach. That didn't seem to be enough of an appeal for him because he left L.A. as quickly as he could. So I just don't know what he wants at this point in time, and he's just gone through so many different transformations. You know, I was reading about it yesterday, how when he first came into the league, if you can believe it, he was like this uber Christian. He was very young. I had totally forgotten about that aspect of his personality, that he was, you know, very conservative, soft-spoken, and, you know, he was still a teenager drafted right out of high school. Well, that changed quickly enough, and, you know, you found out all sorts of things that he was engaged in outside of basketball, and you know, you don't want to besmirch his reputation and all, but
lots of women.
Go ahead.
Lots of babies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's unfortunate. That's unfortunate.
Yeah, well, hey, that's bad. You gotta lie on it. I think Dwight would be probably priced out too. But the only reason I'm defending Dwight a little bit here is because I think put Dwight in a stable. If Dwight comes to Miami, for example, I'm not saying Dwight should come to Miami, whatever. I'm not, and Heat fans and who listen to this podcast, settle down. I'm not saying Dwight should be here, nor should he go after him. But let's assume Dwight does come down here. Already off the bat, off the plane, he's in the most stable situation he's ever been in. Period.
Yes.
Could you trust Heat culture to mature him?
No.
No?
No, I can't. Not at this point. A guy like Whiteside, maybe that has whatever issues he may have, who has something left to prove and can, you know, still be molded at that point in his career like he was 2 years ago. And look, was just legitimately fighting for a job. That's one thing. Dwight, at this point in time, I don't know that he cares enough. Look, I mean, he could have been committed in Houston. He could have been committed and look, if he was committed in L.A., he'd still be there. That's the problem. Kobe wanted him to be as focused and as committed as possible, and he just wasn't willing to do it. So you wound up coming here. And look, and Miami is not necessarily the same way as Kobe Bryant is. They haven't been as, you know, I guess they're not as obsessive, but they do have their Heat culture. They do want you focused on basketball first and foremost. And I don't know that Dwight's that guy anymore. I don't know if he ever was.
Okay. Well, we'll see what happens there. Let's go, next topic here, probably the last one here, probably the last deep one we'll go into, but probably the most scariest one. Because once again, we're back here at the same spot we were last year, 1 year later. Dwayne Wade now threatening to leave again. Apparently things have not gone smooth as we all thought it was going to be between the Heat and the, you know, Henry Thomas and Dwayne Wade in the situation with a new contract. Dwayne Wade has now said he's not open to taking offers. Now, here's the thing that, look, I think it's still somewhat bluffing like last year too. But here's why I will warn Heat fans here to not be naive. The difference between last year and this year's situation with Dwayne Wade is that his stock right now a lot higher than it was last season. Because last year, even though he had a good year numbers-wise, the Heat had a horrible year with injuries. Dwayne Wade was pretty much a forgotten person last season. So no one knew that he had a solid year. He played, 60-something games last season? This past season, he played 74 games. Okay? And his playoff run, you know, into the having the Heat within the game of the conference finals without Hassan Whiteside and Chris Bosh is up to stock. So don't be fooled into thinking there'll be no suitors for Dwayne Wade this time around, because I think there will be. If Wade actually hits the market, there will be suitors for Dwayne Wade next week, or this weekend rather. So don't get that twisted. So all I'm saying to Heat fans, don't get, you know, naive to thinking Dwayne Wade will never get any other offers outside of Miami, because I think he will.
Okay. I think, first of all, I think it's a lot of BS. I think it's been very over-exaggerated. I think his agent, you know, wanted to put these rumors out there. Who's going to offer him anywhere near as much money as he? Will he take a minimum deal to sign in Cleveland or elsewhere just to play alongside LeBron James? I don't think so. Nobody's going to offer him the kind of money that Miami can. Nobody's going to offer him half as much. I wouldn't expect, maybe this year, with the salary cap expanded as much as it has, maybe somebody's willing to toss 10, 15 at him. But I, even that seems like a stretch. I can't see a lot of teams doing that, especially not legitimate contenders that already have a well-assembled roster. And at this point, is he going to join a Lakers group that is rebuilding still? I don't think so. I don't see a rebuilding team that has a lot of cap space being able to entice Dwayne Wade away from Miami. I don't think that a legitimate contender is going to be able to swoop in and have enough money to lure Dwayne Wade away from Miami. So at this point, you just have to – I'm kind of sick of it, to be honest with you. It's like he made his statements halfway through the season saying he didn't want to play this game. He didn't want to test the market. I mean, that was an exact quote. I do not want to test the free agent market. Now he's testing the goddamn free agent market. Make up your goddamn mind already. I can't stand it. It's just so petty. You know, how much money do you want? Make it clear to the Heat front office. And you know what? Maybe the whole thing is just – not that big a deal.
This is business. It's his business, dude. It's his business.
Not business, dude. He's going to make enough money already. He's made enough money already. Look, I never begrudge anybody making more money than they possibly could.
These guys, these athletes are so freaking petty, man. Trust me. These guys know what other players make. Look, you can't sit there. Look, I'm looking at Dwayne Wade. I can see Dwayne Wade's point of view here, too. Look, you're Dwayne Wade. What you just did in the playoffs, okay, without Whiteside, you know, for most of that Toronto series, without Chris Bosh. Mind you, Chris Bosh, no, everything happened to Bosh, it's not Bosh's fault, this happened, it's health. okay? You just paid Goran Dragic last summer, okay? You're saying publicly that Hassan Whiteside's my number one priority, okay? Meanwhile, you're also, on top of that, courting Kevin Durant, which, yes, I agree, he's right now the better player, but yet I'm just sitting here in the wind. I get the fact, look, you're correct what you're saying, Dave, but I also see Dwayne Wade's point. I've done enough of the taking less and taking less and taking less. Look, I just think I understand both sides. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know. I've seen some, I think somebody wrote something about, you know, calling his bluff, and you know what? I'm at a point now where I'm perfectly cool with it. And I know a lot of
I saw that was Slice Miami, our guy Josh Baumgard.
Yeah, I mean, maybe a lot of Heat fans will go climbing to the ledge, you know, to jump off. But I think at this point, you know, if Wade really wants to play these games, I don't know. It's gotten to a point where I'm just sick of it. You know, look, take $10 million, take $15 million, take something legitimate like that. Take a 3-year deal for $15 of me a piece.
But do you think the way he played in the playoffs that he deserves to at least have a substantial? I don't say max, but a substantial contract, right? I mean, at least something. Respect at least a $50 million a year contract, right? I mean,
$15 million is fine, but I mean, we're talking about supposedly, allegedly, you know, taking another deal like he did last year, another 1-year deal for $20 million or so, and I think that's going to handcuff what Miami does. There's a huge cap hole as a result of you know, Dwayne Wade playing these games. You know, I don't know what to expect out of him at this point. So, I think the $20 million last year. I mean, it was a different situation last season. You're right, because you had Chris Bosh. You didn't know what was going to happen with him. You know, Luol Deng was going to opt out of his contract, et cetera. You know, there was a lot of things going on, and you kind of have to pay the face of the franchise. And I think you'd want to do that now, but you have to look legitimately at what this team wants to do. Can they compete for a title paying just Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh as much money as they have? I don't know. Yeah, I think I don't know that he's necessarily worth that kind of commitment at this point in his career.
Yeah, I'm also one of those guys that, you know, if Dwayne, you want to leave, I'll call you bluff and see what happens. I mean, I'm in that camp also too, but I see both sides of the argument here. I don't know. I just can't believe we're back here again a year later, you know. But maybe it's time for Miami to look at other options now. Maybe we need to become okay with the idea of maybe Dwayne Wade may actually leave here, if not this year, certainly next year. You know, so something that we need to wrap our hands around at some point.
Yeah, possible.
You know, I don't know. But I think he'll come back. I don't know what kind of contract. Obviously, I don't know what he's looking for, but I see that becoming a less of an issue once Durant says no to Miami, which I think is going to happen. Sorry, Heat fans. You'll start seeing a little more fluidity, especially with the Whiteside situation. Because I think if the Heat don't want to pay Whiteside that kind of money, then they'll take your weight, obviously. And so it goes.
Yeah, absolutely. So, should we move on to other free agent topics?
Yeah, two things quickly before you go. Two things, and we'll go quickly with this. Because things have been pretty quiet on Luol Deng front. Luol Deng is another guy that I've said that the Heat should, you know, are going to have a lot of issues. Because his value in stock rose with Chris Bosh's absence in the second half of the year. We've heard rumors about him going to Minnesota and reuniting with Tom Thibodeau and the blossoming Timberwolves out west. Is there a chance that he can still get Luol Deng in a room and work on something? I it's been very quiet. So it's hard to tell if this could actually happen.
I think, unfortunately, he's probably priced himself out of Miami's long-term plans. I mean, it'd be nice to think that you could bring back the band together for another run, but, you know, knowing that you have Justice Winslow, who could probably go in the starting lineup right away and contribute, that you could probably pick up a cheaper wing player, another wing defender, maybe not one as effective as him, but maybe a guy like Marvin Williams or something along those lines. I think it's time to move on from the Luol Deng era, unfortunately. He had a good two-year run here. You know, it was a nice addition to the team when LeBron had left in 2014, but unfortunately, I think if he wants to take that kind of money, I mean, I've seen some people allege that he might be able to command as much as $18 million a year, and that to me seems ludicrous for a guy his age that has gone through the injury issues that he has. Look, I know he's been very healthy here in Miami. He's been contributing. He's, you know, contributed at a pretty high level, but he's also been pretty inconsistent. You know, look, at this point, he's better as a stretch four. We saw that during the second half of the season when he stepped in for Chris Bosh. And I don't think that that's the place for him here on this team. I don't know, but I just don't see, I don't see Miami being able to give him that kind of money. They can't, first and foremost, but I don't think they should or would. So I think he's just gone.
Is it possible that if, because, you know, you hear about Whiteside wanting to leave, not leave, but rather he wants to have his situation taken care of pretty early in free agency. Let's say that this comes forward. Let's say Whiteside decides on Dallas in the first day or two.
Right.
Would you actually try to figure out a way to make negotiate with Deng at that point? Because Whiteside leaving opens up a lot of different scenarios for Miami also too going forward.
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, we don't meet with Kevin Durant until the third day of free agency, you know, Sunday, July 3rd.
Right.
So by that point, if Whiteside's already made a commitment within those first 48 hours after the free agency period begins, then Miami has to put all their eggs in the Kevin Durant basket, and then that becomes a priority. And I don't think KD is going to be playing the power forward spot. I think he's still the top option at small forward, and so I think that's what you have to look at, whether or not he's able to sign here in Miami. You focus on that. And so Deng, again, becomes another lower option. I don't think negotiating with Deng is as important until you get a commitment one way or the other from Kevin Durant. Whether he chooses to stay or go somewhere else, that's fine. But you want to be able to focus on him first and foremost. So that's your bigger priority. I think Deng will still be available in mid-July. I don't think that's going to be a big thing.
So what you're saying is that Miami can't really do nothing for 2 days.
Well, hell, dude. I mean, but hasn't that been the case in 2010 and 2014? Like, you don't know what's going on until the biggest domino falls first and foremost. And if Whiteside wants to be that guy, I mean, that's up to him. But the reality is, until Kevin Durant decides where he wants to go, whether it's here or elsewhere, those teams can't really do anything else. Because then from there, that's when everything else falls into place. Let's say he comes here in Miami. Then all of a sudden, you know, do you trade a guy like Goran Dragic maybe for like a guy like, you know, DeMarcus Cousins, or kind of boost the roster that way so that you have a different, you know, backcourt of Josh Richardson and Dwayne Wade, and maybe you can bring in another star like Boogie to play alongside Chris Bosh should he return, and Kevin Durant at the three. You know, so there's other options there. If he doesn't play here, then you go to plan B, which is, you know, Al Horford or somebody along those lines that you try to convince. You know, there has to be a series of events for them to take place, and it begins and ends with Kevin Durant. If Whiteside signs elsewhere, that's up to him. You know, he's out of the picture. He's going to do his own thing.
Whiteside leaving early makes Miami's job easier, actually, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, because then they're able to move on right away. It's like, look, we get Kevin Durant or we move on to other plans. And I think they have, you know, being Riley in the front office the way they are, I'm pretty sure that they have contingency plans lined up, you know, to infinity. I think they have more than enough options. And there'll be other players that weren't going to sign right away. And then, I don't know. I haven't heard anything specific about Whiteside wanting to lock up something early. Have you heard something about what his time frame is?
I heard that he wanted to have something done within the first day.
Well, that's ludicrous. That's ludicrous.
Well, first off, like for Whiteside, like to me, it's such a Whiteside thing to say. Number one, because the maturity stuff. But furthermore, it's stupid because why would you want to limit yourself? Let's see what other teams can make yourself a highest bidder. You know, let's say you meet with Dallas,
right,
Miami, and LA in the first day, but then hell, Portland jumps in wants to pay you the max, and then maybe Charlotte, your hometown team, wants to pay the max. Why would you limit yourself to one day?
If it's true, it's such a rash decision.
It's foolish.
You know, this is your financial future, your career, your legacy, whatever that might be, and you're just going to say, you know what, I'm going to need less than 24 hours to figure out what I want to do for the next 4 years. I mean,
I'll be honest with you,
nobody should ever rush into a decision like that.
I agree with you. I honestly, dude, I've already, in my mind, divorced myself from the Whiteside era. I already have.
Yeah.
Really have.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think Miami has it in a lot of ways too. They're not going to say it, but they're nudging out the door a little bit because by them going to meet with KD, you know, this weekend tells you that's the first priority.
I'm looking at the max numbers for Whiteside, Horford, and Howard. Your guy, Whiteside can get $22 million. Horford can get $26 million, and Dwight Howard could get $31 million. Yeah. Nobody's going to pay Dwight Howard $31 million at this point, right?
Nope. And I will stay away from all three. Based on those price tags.
Yes, absolutely. What's a fair... Would you pay Horford $20
million? That I would have to consider. You have to consider, obviously. But even that's a little expensive. But then again, it's better than what he would actually command in the market. I mean, will somebody actually offer him $27 a year? Is the question.
I think Atlanta would, unless they're able to sign Dwight Howard. I don't know. I think Atlanta would. I think Orlando might if they could find a way to trade away Nikola Vucevic. So there's options there. It's a tough one. It's a tough one to foresee. It's an exciting time. There's so many different options out there. Miami's going to do something. You know, Pat Riley's not going to stand pat. So no pun intended. I think he's going to make a move. He's going to make a move one way or the other. If it's not Whiteside, if it's not Durant, if those options go out the door, he's going to do something. He's going to try and bring in somebody and you know, make a little room that way. Anticipate, you know, Dwayne Wade re-signing at a decent rate, you know, maybe hopefully south of $20 million. And, you know, and like I said before, Chris Bosh is still on the team. And we forget after two, you know, years of him having reduced shortened seasons, how good he is. He's still the prototypical player at that position because he can stretch the floor, he can guard on the perimeter, he can do pretty much everything. He can initiate offense, put it down
on
the floor.
And we know if he's healthy, he's good enough. He's gonna give you the value. Because now his contract now, not so bad anymore. Because let's say he was on the market this year, he might command $30 million himself
if he was healthy. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, based on the service he's given to the league. So because if Dwight Howard's getting $31 on the max. And hell, because Bosch just came in the same year the year before he did, and he's $30 million also on the market. So Bosch's contract is not so bad now. As I said 2 years ago to people, with the salary cap increasing, it won't look so bad in the end. So that's just me. So that's the way. One last thing here, Joe Johnson, another player we have that's been very quiet since the playoffs ended. I'll tell you what, he hurt his stock mightily in that Toronto series.
Yeah, I don't know at this point. I think you'd like to bring him back at a reasonable rate. I think he can still be a solid contributor. I think the problem then is trying to convince him at this point in his career whether or not he's ready to move on to the bench role. And right. I don't know that he feels that he's that guy yet. I think, you know, if you believe what the reports were, that the one of the biggest factors when he became a free agent midway through last season was that he wanted to get increased playing time that he wasn't going to be able to get in Cleveland or Oklahoma City or other places like that, and that's why he chose Miami. If he still sees himself as deserving of 30 minutes a game,
right,
then that's a problem because I just don't think he's that guy anymore. He can score in bunches off the bench. You know, he's still a solid veteran presence. I think he liked his time here in Miami.
Yeah,
you know, he said a number of times that he learned a lot while he was here. And I'd like to see him in the bench role. I just don't see him being paid starter money at this point.
Well, first off, he's 36 years old, number one, I think, close to that.
34, 35? I think, yeah.
He's definitely mid-30s, okay? I think he's going to offer him the mid-level exemption. That's about it. I think he wanted to sign him originally when he got here, and I think when they had a nice start when he came, you know, when he got here in February, that they were saying, okay, what's the future for Johnson here? But I think now going forward, you know, this team needs to go a little bit younger, and I think unless Johnson takes a lot less money on the market, I think his days here are numbered.
Yeah. I mean, it's time to move on, I think, from the last year's roster, unfortunately. I think Luol Deng and Joe Johnson are the most obvious choices. And, you know, Whiteside, obviously, that's his choice. He can stay here if he wants to. The door is open for him to return. It's up to him whether or not he walks through it. So we'll see what happens. It should be an exciting couple of days.
Yeah, I don't think Riley will stand pat, but I think he may have to consider trying again next year with a better market and more cap room. Honestly, that's just me.
All right.
I mean, and they got to move McRoberts' contract too. On top of that, they got to find a way to move that contract. And I know it's only $5 million or $6 million on, you know, per year.
Something like that.
Yeah, but yeah. They got to find a way to move that contract. Every dollar counts now. You know,
or maybe McRoberts can return to the point where he was 2 years ago when they signed
him. I'm checked out. I'm checked out on that one. I'm done.
You're done hoping for McRoberts?
McBob. Yeah, I'm done, McBob. I'm done. I like the guy. He's great. Great player. I just don't see it. I mean, after 2 years and he can't, number one, he can't stay healthy. Number one, I mean, that's just a problem. And number two, I know he's a passing big, but he's so not aggressive, you know, to the point it's annoying almost.
Yeah. I don't even think that, the passing is there. I think, you know, I don't even think it's the injury. I don't think that was a problem last season. I mean, at the start of it was, but towards the second half, he just wasn't getting playing time because he hadn't earned it. And he wasn't doing enough with the playing time he got. And I think that's what the point is. I think, you know, he seems to have a lot.
He cut his hair. I think I killed him.
Like Samson, huh? I don't know. That's an interesting point.
Sorry.
Well, yeah, he when he gets open like that, he needs to take that shot. And that's something that's missing from him at this point. I mean, I'm still optimistic that he'll be able to turn it around either here or elsewhere, but I need to see something from him.
Yeah, it's just frustration there. But like I said, July 1st will be a big day, and it'll be a big weekend. The Heat, as you said, they get the meeting with Durant on the 3rd. I expect Whiteside, if Whiteside is a man of his word, he'll have his commitment with somebody, either Miami or Dallas, by breakfast on Friday morning. I don't know. That's just ridiculous to me, man. I mean, that had been just been like a bluff, seriously. So,
well, I mean, you never know with him. Yeah. And there's always the perception with him, and there's always, I mean, it's certainly one that he feeds himself of the things that he says and does. But I mean, and you never know. He is at times a loose cannon. So we'll see if he really makes a decision that rashly, if he takes his time with it. You know, you'd like to see some kind of maturity there, but. You never know with him, so it should be like I said, it should be a good, exciting moment.
Absolutely. Anyway, follow David Ramil on Twitter at DRamil13.
That's right.
I'm on Twitter at EJChristian7. Check out all our work at HotHotHoops.com. Check my piece that I just did recently, yesterday, on Whiteside and why you guys, including myself, I'm already there. And I think Dave's been there since probably January, embracing a future out Whiteside. Because I'm already there, man. I'm already there. But yeah, check out thehothoops.com and all the updates on free agency. We'll definitely be checking in throughout the free agency period. Any thing that happens big for the Heat, both bad, both negative, positive, we will be checking in. Hopefully, do emergency podcasts. We'll see throughout the weekend. Hopefully, until then, later.